I always say I'm in the studio.
In the stew?
In the stew.
Are you a rapper from the early 2000s?
You know it, baby. That's how I try to get my points across by rapping. That's how people listen to me, not when I talk, because you already know.
Not the Love and Hip Hop vibes. When is the album coming out? Never?
First of all, it's Boys in the Hood. Nobody said Love and Hip Hop. I don't want to be those one hit wonders. I want to have, like, you know, memorabilia. 20 years from now, you're going to be wearing my shirt.
Gotcha. Yes, yeah, sure. Merch definitely hits the stands. But yes, Jared, to start with you, we wanted to get from you just like a fun, real quick, two truths and a lie. Kind of just to put you on the spot, just to kind of warm you up before we really get into it.
Okay.
So if you have two truths and a lie for us.
Two truths and a lie. Let's see. I just got out of a 6-year relationship. Mm. I have never been outside of the country. And This is my... Well, this latest podcast is one of many that I have tried over the years.
Wow. Okay.
So I am an amateur behavioral analyst, right? And you pausing and hesitating and looking up towards the ceiling, I would say... I don't know.
I think the lie is that you've never been out of the country. That is my personal choice.
I was going to say the second one, too.
I'm not reading your IQs. I'm just making an educated guess.
I'm a bullshitter. I bullshit all the time.
No, the lie is getting out of the relationship. I've never actually been in a long-term relationship.
Gotcha. Yeah.
You know what? I was wishing that because we all need love, and I'm not going to hate on love. So...
As a long-term monogamist, I've been in part of those. Not all that cracked up to be. It's not about the length of time. It's about the person. I learned that the hard way.
Understood.
Spoken like a true man of trash.
Wow. Wowzer. Sometimes you have to go around multiple blocks till you get the right block. That's all I'm saying.
That's true. Jeez, I'm still spinning the block right now. Oh, yeah.
I'm stagnant. My wheel came off. I got a flat. I'm not going nowhere.
Right. I'm there.
Wowzer. All right. Well, let's park the car real quick and let's get into our episode, shall we? Sophisticated ignorance.
You slid it right in, didn't you?
Nope. Don't do that.
Skirt, skirt.
Queen of the block.
I am evolving, okay?
All right. Here we go again. All right, everybody. Hey, what is good? Welcome to Sophisticated Ignorance.
Welcome.
A show about a show talking about everything going on these days. I'm Vixen J.
It's your girl, R to the OV.
And as you may see, if you are watching us on YouTube, we have a guest. We have somebody who has agreed to join us in the madness. So yes, please introduce yourself to the audience and let us know a little bit about yourself.
Absolutely. Hello, everyone. My name is Jared D. King. I am the host of the Boyfriends podcast. On my 9-to-5, I'm a copy editor, but you know, on the side, I am definitely a much more a creative person, and so I've always been doing. If it's not been a podcast, it's been like hosting different shows and stuff online. So I've been a digital host before, and I've written a couple fantasy novels as well. So I'm just like always doing something. So, you know, that's me in a nutshell. I'm so excited to be on the show with you.
You sound like every 30-something.
We're
just
so
like,
excited
we
to
got
have
the
you.
Job, but then we got the side hustle and the hustle to the side hustle. We love to see it.
I mean, like the millennials' story, right?
Exactly. You are working hard just like Kim K. Work hard. Shut up and do the work.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, Lord, man. Have mercy.
Oh, man.
No, but we're not going to talk about her. Not today.
Yeah, we're not taking business advice from Kim Kardashian today or any day. Leave that girl with her Skims. but yes, today, you know, we just wanted to have you on the show just to kind of get to know a little bit more about you, what you're about, and just talk a little bit just about like the state of like gay culture today from your perspective. Mm-hmm. And really just dive into that. So as I said, we are excited for you to be here, and yeah, we just want to just pick your brain. I hate that phrase, man. But you know what I mean? Like, that's such corporate jargon. Let me pick your brain.
We got to shake it out of this Zoom. It's a Zoom environment. The Zoom environment makes us like tunnel vision into saying,
Zooms,
yeah.
Oh my God, I'll be on Zooms all day. So I'm constantly facing whites and their professional jargon. I got to turn that shit off when I'm on here because I ain't got the time.
And your gentle reminders, let's not forget about those.
Right.
But
there's no piggyback. We're not pigging back. We're not sinking. We're not circling back to anything. We're just having some real cool talk. So, yes. Okay. Yeah, let's get started. So, yeah, tell us a little bit more about the podcast, Boyfriends, your role on it, how you connected with your co-host, and, you know, some of the things that you guys, like, cover on there.
Yeah. So the tagline for Boyfriends is find your circle and your man. So the focus is really about helping people to find friends if they feel a little bit on the outs in the gay community, to kind of find those people that they can connect with and I guess kind of come up with strategies for connecting in this environment. Because, I mean, I don't know how well-versed you are in the culture, but it's just... it can be very difficult. And there's a lot of different segments of it. I mean, it's almost like, you know, you see that movie Mean Girls where it's just like, you know, you've got this table and that table. And it's just like, mm-hmm. It's kind of like that. And so it can be a little bit difficult to navigate for a lot of us. But then, of course, there's also the romantic aspect as well. And so we talk a lot about dating and, you know, I think our most recent episode, we had talked about... what to put on your dating profile. But we also talk about like how to approach somebody and how, mm-hmm. You know, how to deal with rejection and how to reject respectfully. So we've mm-hmm. dealt with all of those kinds of topics. And this really started, like I created the podcast and I reached out to some friends and I figured, you know, it would be a good concept to kind of have a group of friends talking and including the listeners in with this group. And that's why, and that's how we have like, you know, our little tagline at the end is like, if you have nobody else, you got us, you know? Even if you're a little bit isolated, which, you know, I have kind of gone through that myself growing up. And that's why I kind of connect with the content so well with like in that way. So, yeah, I mean, I know we're really, like, speaking to those people, and I kind of want to, like, let them in to our circle a little bit. And, you know, we have four other co-hosts. There is Melvin, who I guess I met in summer of last year. I met through his boyfriend, and I met his boyfriend through Tony. So I knew Tony a little bit earlier. It's the guy with the dreads. And then I met Renee. She was a coworker of mine a few years ago. And I just remember she had like a big, vibrant personality. So I knew she would be great for the show. And Saran was introduced to me through a friend of mine that I met through a community organization here in Philly. Okay. And I remember it was interesting, like that story, because we had even talked about it on the show a little bit that, we had never actually communicated prior to doing the show. But, you know, my friend let me know he was in Toastmasters. I knew he could talk. I knew he had the gift of gab. So I was like, all right, so we just need somebody else. Just come on in and we're going to figure it out. And it worked. So I'm happy about that. So that's basically it.
I love the representation of your co-host, to be honest. When I saw, I was like, oh my goodness, this is the circle that I need to get a part of. So right. I can feel a part of it as well, too.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah, I mean, I definitely wanted to keep it a little bit diverse. I wanted to be a different, I mean, you know, I think like four of us are Black. We've got one guy who's Cambodian. Mm-hmm. But we have, like, Renee is straight, so we wanted a different perspective. We wanted some different perspectives.
Right.
I think it makes the conversation a lot more interesting when you're speaking on topics from different directions.
Exactly.
Word. Absolutely.
So you hosted a virtual event, Boys Versus Brunch. What was that about? And could you give us a little bit more information about that?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Boys and Brunch was, it was the podcast that I was doing previous to Boyfriends.
Okay.
So what we did there, it was more pop culture focused, and I did it with two guys, Brandon Harris Williams and Marcus Haynes. At least those are the two that we started with. And then we kind of got some more people in towards the end there, Natasha and we had oh my gosh, I'm forgetting his name. He's gonna kill me if he sees. So don't ever show him this. I'm gonna smack myself. Like,
we'll just dub his name.
Getting his name.
Yeah, we'll block him. He's on the blacklist.
We'll dub his name in there somewhere. Yeah.
We did more pop culture stuff, and I used to be like really big on. I'm still kind of big on like Twitter and just kind of being nosy. I'm a little nosy. So any of those like big trending topics that we talked about, like we just briefly touched on Kim Kardashian, like that would have been a topic of conversation on the show, because everybody was talking about it. And of course, you know, I don't know if y'all have heard of this kind of like tragic story. The girl was tweeting about like, you know, driving drunk and, you know,
I recently just heard about that. Yeah.
Yeah. So that would have been something that we touched on as well. And it was really just something to kind of like, we started during the pandemic, and it was a way for us to kind of take our mind off of like the heaviness of what was going on, because the pandemic, nobody knew how much time anybody had, you know, at that point. It was like the end of the world, it felt like. So it was a good way to kind of, you know, have a day drink and laugh
mood
and
big
know.
Mood. Yeah. Yes, we've all been there, so totally understand. But well, actually, you know, when we were kind of looking at that Boys Versus Brunch, you know, show that you were hosting, you know, I kind of came across that clip that you guys were talking about sexuality versus lifestyle. I feel like that was really important, because I feel like, you know, certain people, especially when it comes to talking about the queer community, they really get those two confused. So I just want to get to know from your perspective, what is like the major difference there and what people should remember when, you know, using one versus the other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Lifestyle is more something that I think you have control over. And I think that that is probably the biggest difference between the two. You know, your sexuality, it's kind of something you discover. It's something that you kind of, it kind of grows with you. It may change, it may not, you know, just depending on your awareness and the headspace that you're in which stage of your life. So that's really something that you don't have a lot of control over. Your lifestyle is something that you can change a little bit, or depending on the people that you're around, your lifestyle changes, you know. So yeah, I mean, I think that would be the biggest difference, and that's why it's a little bit, it can be a little bit offensive for people to say, you know, to say that, oh, you kind of have a gay lifestyle, or that you kind of chose this lifestyle, because it's just not accurate. So yeah, that's what I think that the difference would be.
Yeah, I was gonna actually kind of mention that you kind of touched on it, where, you know, people treat sexuality as a life, or they define it as a lifestyle because they say it's a choice, right? So a lifestyle is more chosen, where sexuality is not a choice, right? So I feel like that's the major difference as well. And you know, I think once people start, you know, making that difference, or at least understanding that difference, then, you know, the type of conversations that kind of involve those two terms could certainly be separated, you know what I mean? Because it's definitely not fair to, you know, call someone's like own being
it together. Yeah.
Just like, oh yeah, that's a trend, a mood. You know what I mean?
Totally,
like,
disregarding someone's identity as a person.
Yeah, that's definitely not.
You can't do that.
So
no, not at all, not at all. I mean, I think people tend to think that a lot of stuff is like a trend or something. Like, I remember and I think I touched on this on the pot on my podcast. It's like, you know, and this is no shade to anybody on that show, but like The Real, I don't know if y'all know The Real.
We're familiar.
And and yeah, they were saying like how demisexuality was like a trend or something like that, and I was just like, no, it's not. It's not a trend. It's more kind of just how people are. And I don't know if you can necessarily say that that is a trend. I mean, I know that they were, you know, kind of using it in kind of a just a casual kind of way. They probably didn't really mean it all that seriously. But yeah, at the same time, I kind of have to be careful about that kind of thing.
For sure. Absolutely.
I appreciate you brought up different terms because with our listeners, there are a lot of people who aren't familiar with the queer community, so I wanted to give out some words and get some definitions from you so we can have a bit more clarifications. It's nothing too crazy, nothing too ratchet. No, it's easy ones. Okay. So the first one, it's nothing too crazy. I mean, we're sophisticatedly ignorant, but not that ignorant. Okay, so the first one is top.
Top.
What is a top?
A top is the person who gives, a top.
You don't have to censor yourself.
Listen, you don't have to censor. You can say it how
right.
I didn't know, like, you know.
Yeah, no FFCs here, nothing like that. Right. You know, my mom doesn't listen to this because she's going to disown me.
Yeah, this ain't PBS Kids.
So a top is the person giving the dick, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Is that similar to like someone like, I guess, dominant in a sense, like the dominant person in that dynamic?
Typically, yes. You can be dominant. You can be like a dominant bottom, though, or, you know, which is, I guess they would call like a power bottom. I don't know if that's coming up on the list of things. But
it was. The next word is bottom. We're doing like a soft introduction.
Gotcha.
Things. But we can go into subtypes. If there's different subtypes, then go ahead. So the next word was bottom. Wow. And now we know that there are subtypes to it.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Go ahead. So yeah, bottom is basically just receiving. Yeah, and then, you know, if you're a power bottom, you're not submissively receiving. You're just kind of, like, taking control of the situation, you know?
Right.
Same way as there's, like, a submissive top or, like, a dominant top or something like that. I think typically when you say a top or a bottom, you immediately kind of put those labels of dominant and submissive.
And submissive, yeah.
Mm-hmm, yeah, mm-hmm. But they can be different.
You can blur the two. Yeah, okay.
Okay. Good to know.
The next word, now that we're blurring, the next word is verse.
Verse. Okay. Verse is you can do both. You are not you're not completely on either end of the spectrum. And you like it all.
I think in the cis universe, I mean that term is used as well, but it's more in the dominant submissive category of like, sometimes I like to be in control, but then other times I like to lay back and just be a pillow princess. And you know, being a pillow princess is non-gendered.
Non-negotiable.
You can be a pillow princess regardless of gender. So yes, in this case, your definition, you know, is more accurate.
The next one is beat. I don't know what
beat.
You could teach me this one.
So this one threw me for a loop when I first heard it, but I kind of understood. Like, I feel like it's more in, like drag queen or ballroom circles where you're putting on makeup. You say that face is beat.
That makes sense. I thought it was something totally sexual. I thought it was sexual. I was like, ooh, what's this? It's something new.
Okay.
To beat your face. Like, I get right. that. But
there's beat to the gods, which means your makeup is on point. Yes. And then I'm going to beat that up means
you're going to smash. Right.
So, you know, it's
giving power bottom. So I was okay.
The English language is very, you know, interchangeable. You know what I mean? Let's make sure we're using the right beat for the right scenario.
Right. You know, context matters, you know.
Context is so, everything.
100%, 100%.
I say that all the time. Oh,
and the last one is family.
Family. So I think it's just like a term of endearment. Like, hey, family. Like, you know, almost like how we as like black people just say like, what's up, fam? Like that kind of thing. You know, it's almost like... It's kind of used in that way. I think we can also use it in like you have your chosen family, which is, I guess, more in line with people who have not found their place within their family that they've been born into, and so they have to go in search of their people that they kind of form their own family. So, yeah.
Okay. All right. I guess the next question, we're going to just go into a deeper topic. You want to take that, Fixie?
Yeah. I mean, definitely when it comes to like, gay and queer culture, there's so much issues that, come up. And, even in this year of our Lord 2022, we're talking about things that we've probably talked about, 10, 20 years ago, like DL culture, racism, all these things, hypermasculinity, mental health, all these things are still topics or issues that really affect the gay community and other communities at large. So, we just want to know from your perspective, like, how do you navigate that, especially when it comes to the dating? How do you navigate those things, like, today? Because, I mean, we could say, like, 2022, but, I mean, dating itself has not changed much in the past couple of years. But especially now, like, how do you navigate those things? Or do you come across these things in your dating spaces or hear stories of this from other people in your circle, with those deep topics?
Mm-hmm. Well, so I'm hearing like DL culture as far as like I can probably speak to that. Were there other like, could you maybe like repeat some of the other things that you had said? Like, was it DL? It was like some of the other topics,
right? Like racism, fetishism, hypermasculinity, mental health, religion, and other like viewpoints like that.
Gotcha. I think a lot of us in the community have had to deal with a lot of these different things. I will say more in like hookup culture, I have dealt more with DL guys. Mm. But that's like few and far between because I don't really hook up all that much. And if it's with a DL guy, it ends up just staying on the apps. I don't ever go see them because they never show their face. And I'm like, I don't know who you are. I'm not going to go over your house. You know what I'm saying? So, but with like racism or,
hypermasculinity.
Yeah. I have dealt with that. I have dealt with people who kind of see me, like, I think one of my viral clips on TikTok, I talk about people kind of thinking of me as a top. Mm-hmm. I would like to go on the record because I got a lot of hate for saying that. I would like to go on the record and let everybody know that I am versatile, number one.
Okay.
Number two, I was talking specifically about kind of being on dating apps, and a lot of times when people will reach out to you, the black guys will reach out to you and they'll see me and they'll think I'm a bottom. Anybody outside of that will see me and assume I'm a top just based on my pictures or whatever. Or they'll just immediately throw me into that box regardless of what I'm, presenting online, because that's just what they want out of me.
Right.
And there's a little bit of a fetishization thing going on there. I won't say that happens every time, and but yeah, I mean, that's definitely something that I deal with. It's something that I think I always am thinking about, especially when I'm like out and in the club and stuff. I'm like, okay, like, are y'all like really feeling me? Or like, I can even remember like I went to an event with a group that I'm a part, like a tennis group that I'm a part of. They had an event. And there are a few black members there as well. Majority are non-black. And I'm pretty cool with the majority crew. You know, now it was just interesting because it was just like, you know, I'm kind of closer with this group and I'm not really as close with the other black members, just because I just haven't gotten to know them all that well. But they ended up, they said, oh, we're going to, you know, some of them were going to the black club. And, you know, it was almost like it was an invitation. And I was like, well, I'm kind of cool with that. And it was just like one of those weird moments. But I could tell, like, I've been in their shoes where it's like, I'm not really talking with anybody here and I don't really feel completely accepted. So, I mean, like, I got it. I got where they were coming from. I got why they weren't there the entire time. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, I mean, it's something that we go through. It's something that I don't think a lot of people outside of black culture really understand.
Right.
So yeah, I mean, there's that. There's also the whole thing about, you know, whether you're masculine or feminine and all that stuff and whether that matters. And yeah, there's a lot of stuff that goes into there.
I know that on the show, that's one of the things that you guys have mentioned, like leaning masculine, leaning feminine. So, I mean, do you feel like in a case where it's like, you know, it's fluid in a sense, where it's like, regardless of how you lean, you know, that doesn't really like define your core, or is it more something where it's like, you know, one day you feel masculine, one day you feel feminine, and it just really is like a free-flowing, you know, situation?
I think that would have to be asked like on an individual basis. I think it's different for everybody. I think for most people it's pretty static. There are some people who like to kind of do one thing or do another, depending on their mood for the day. But I will say for me, it is, like I said, like, you know, and I will die on this hill. I'm in the middle leaning masculine. I'm sorry, y'all. But
don't have to be sorry.
I'm just talking to the audience out there.
Oh, right. No, don't worry. We'll protect you. Don't worry about them.
But you don't fit in my box. That's not how I see you.
they're like, oh, girl, with the swoop, and like, you know, I can just tell by the voice. You know, it's just like, all right, like, I get it. Like, I'm not, but you know, they acting like I'm Billy Porter. I'm not out here in ball gowns and Porter. Makeup, like, and nurse
and singing at the top of your thing, like,
right. No. I mean, and it's and like, it's no shade to Billy Porter, because
nothing wrong.
If you can do that, and I applaud you, and I think it's beautiful. But that's just
right.
If I'm just gonna be accurate about who I am.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of in the middle there. I think I have, like, slightly more masculine traits. And I just think that that's only because of how I grew up. You know, I have two brothers. You know, I kind of deal in that world a little bit better than I do with the feminine side. So, yeah.
Right fit, yeah.
I'm gonna start. I was like telling myself earlier this week, I'm gonna start talking in a deeper voice, so people, you know.
You gotta. How can you? Can you code switch being gay? Is that a thing to code switch? That's so like wild that people just try to box someone. Like, you're supposed to fit this type of, you know, queer in my image, so I can accept you and I can digest what you're giving me. And it doesn't work that way. I don't understand.
Yeah. Life is not build a gay. You know what I mean? Like, this is not build a bear. Like, you take all the features that you think makes that up, and then, you know, that's, you know, the typecast. So, yeah, definitely understand you with that one.
Yeah. You know, what's interesting is that a lot of us, you know, it's like, it's coming from inside the family. If we're going to use that word.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's coming sometimes from inside the family. And they're all like, you know, oh, you're lying to yourself. You're delusional. So, they, you know, there's a lot of work that we have to do, I think.
You have to build that foundation.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's the family. Yeah.
Sometimes it be your own people. It be your own people. But it is true where, you know, sometimes even people within your community, you know, they're probably fed these type of stereotypes and then they kind of reflect that onto others. And mm-hmm. it makes it really difficult to navigate whether they're like really being genuine or they're just confused and they kind of need more insight. So, you know, I can understand how that's definitely, you know, terrain to navigate.
Or maybe projecting what they want to be. Maybe they want to be more feminine. Maybe they want to be more masculine and mm-hmm. they don't know how to translate that. So they're going to use you as a vessel and say, hey, you need to get in line and do something that I can relate to. So when we're out, I can still feel like myself, but not really.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, totally true. Absolutely. Totally true. Speaking of, are you familiar with the series Harlem on Amazon Prime?
So I saw the first few episodes. I did not complete mm-hmm. the series, though.
Oh, okay. But so on that show, there was the character named Ty. Ty was the one that was creating that queer dating app. You remember?
Okay.
Her.
She was the lesbian character.
The only lesbian. Yeah.
Okay. Yes, the lesbian character. Yes. Yes. The show was cool for what it was, but you know, it was interesting how Ty, the lesbian character, she was developing this black person of color. I don't love that term anyway, but basically creating a black queer dating app, you know, just to cater to people in that community, because I guess, you know, for the character, their issue was they were trying to, you know, eliminate the idea of people dating outside of their race and, you know, having that awkward moments and all these things. So they were trying to create a dating app, you know, that caters within their community. So I was curious, you know, do you think if there is a dating app right now that you probably came across or used, do you think that there's dating apps that kind of cater to a similar notion? Or do you think if there were to be an original one, do you think that is something that people would subscribe to now? And how do you think that will work?
There are a couple that I know of. One of them is Jacked, and that I know is not specific, or at least originally was not specifically geared towards the black community, but we have kind of adopted it, and Jacked just went
took it over
with it.
Jacked
in the last couple of years.
Literally,
it's kind of like Twitter. It's giving Twitter.
Exactly. There you go. So, yeah, so that's one. But it's more kind of like a hookup app. I mean, like, you can kind of use it, like, these apps you can kind of use any way that you want to. But, yeah, that's kind of more in, like, the hookup realm. And then the other one that I believe is in a dating app, like, BLK or something.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, like, oh, yes. Man, that's so trash. Not to interject. Right. But every time they come on Instagram or TikTok or Twitter, I'm the one in the comment section. This is trash. Gotta make this app for you guys to be pulling crap out of people. Like, I screenshot all my friends. They're like, Rovi, stop commenting. But you know what they do? They delete every single time I comment.
Of course. Of course. Yes. It's called bad press.
Wow. Yes.
It's but called it's bad it's press.
Go ahead. Go with your experience.
It's not the app. It's the people on the app. Okay. Because guess what? When I was in my heavy dating sessions, it was very copy and paste. I would jump from black BLK to Facebook dating because I was desperate at the time, and other ones. And it's just copy and paste. It's really not the app. It's really the people.
Yeah.
So,
but you really know, the thing is, it's like it's the same people. It's the same people on every app.
Really?
Too. So it's like
the same two pictures. And it's the same picture. It's the same smile. If you scroll down, it's the exact same smile in the same shirt.
Right.
Same picture. No type of thought, anything. I'm going to make a dating app.
Hilarious. Good job. No, but I mean, I guess just to answer the question, it's like, you know, there are a couple of them, but there's, I don't know if they have been successful as far as dating and as far as finding relationships. Mm-hmm. And if they were to create one, it would take a lot. It would take a lot. And I, because I remember there was one, I forget what the name of it was, but I had actually, you know, tried, you know how they do like those fundraisers or like, what do you call them? Like a Kickstarter. It was something along those lines where I had, you know, given them some money. And I was just like, okay, I like what y'all are doing. They ended up having like 1,000 users or something like that. And it ended up not being anything. I mean, you know, you need like millions of users for these data sets to work because, you know, like, 1 million probably isn't really even going to cut it because that's maybe a small town in America, at least, you know? So, so yeah, it's just, it would take a lot. And I think, you know, like the beauty standard is white. So if you're not like, we can talk about just like the Black community, but if you want to involve like people of color, like the broad umbrella of people of color, and you're not going to have white people, I mean, it sounds horrible. It sounds horrible. But if you're not going to include, if you're not going to have that standard look to it, it's not going to get the same
traffic.
Unfortunately.
Nobody's going to pay attention to it.
Right.
Because that's once you plaster niggas on a dating app, and I was like, oh, it's rough. Oh, no. I don't want to be on that one. No, thank you. No,
that's why Black is trash, and it's terrible. The name Black and the representation.
BLK. Let's
BLK. It's BLK. And, you know, they have the most attractive, handsome chocolate guy ever just to woo you in. And then you go into the app and that's not the representation of what it is. It's you're catfishing me on top of me potentially being catfished. So
are you saying, so you got app fished? Is that what you're saying?
I did.
I think you just coined a new term there.
I think I did.
Wow. I sure did.
I'm so sorry for you, sis. So sorry.
Fire and brimstone to BLK. But anyway, that's my own personal campaign. So I like that you brought up with app and hookup culture. I wanted to get your point of view about sexual health being a priority within the community and how a lot of people don't view it as gay people don't usually take sexual health as a priority. And, you know, they try to say, oh, everyone has STDs and higher rates of HIV and AIDS is prominent within the community. I wanted to get your thought process in regards to that and just share what do you think about it?
Yeah, I don't understand exactly why it's so hard for our community to kind of adopt, you know, like we have PrEP, which is basically, you know, a pill to kind of, you know, pre-exposure, you know, to protect us against HIV, contracting HIV. But I'm not a, you know, I'm not a health expert. So I don't have all the statistics about like, you know, and the outreach and how, so I don't know exactly why that is, but I know that there is a huge push to try to get us to, adopt that as part of our lifestyle. There's that word, but which is probably not the first. But I guess lifestyle in the sense of sexual.
Sexual, lifestyle. Yeah.
Right, that. Right.
And your practices, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think that now I'm seeing, like, you know, outside of that, like the people who do use PrEP, it's becoming a thing now to where you just ask, like, you know, are you on PrEP and are you negative? And if both answers are yes, then, you know, okay, all that, you know, cool. We don't have to use a condom, which at the end of the day, it's like, you can still get some other stuff. So you have to be very careful about who you're hooking up with and what you're doing. And, you know, if you're going to hook up, I would say still use a condom, especially if you don't know this person. But, you know, I mean, I guess it's really just up to everybody's comfort level. And, you know, I try not to judge too much what people like to do sexually, because there are a lot of different things, a lot of things out there that people like to do. But So yeah, I mean, but that's kind of where I land on it. I just try not to be judgmental, but also, you know, let's just be cognizant of our own health, because it's important.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hashtag be safe.
Yeah.
Pure and simple. Like, it's not too hard. You know what I mean? But yeah, I mean, kind of just to pivot out, away from dating. you know, in the past few years, we. You know, I mean, I watch a lot of TV and movies personally, right? I mean, that's just my jam. So, especially when it comes to media, like, I always like to focus on media because we're surrounded by media, social media, and all these images that come at us. We look at movies such as, like, Moonlight that came out recently. Really dope. Not recently, but it came out a few years ago. And I feel like at the time that was, like, the biggest, you know, the biggest conversation about, oh my gosh, these two, you know, gay men on screen and they're showing affection and uproar and all these things. But fast forwarding to now, I mean, we have a whole bunch of shows that, you know, have queer people on them, and it's become normalized. I hate that word. It's become normalized, which is a good thing. But do you feel like there's still more work to do in that space, or, you know, in the sense of how media portrays the gay community, there's still some, like, typecast that kind of become, you know, it doesn't cover the whole spectrum, so to speak.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of work to be done. I mean, I'm glad that there has been some advancements in recent years, of course, but there, for example, I will say, like, specifically on Black shows, and I don't know if y'all watched Greenleaf on OWN.
I'm familiar.
Or if you've heard of it. Yeah. So there was, like, it was just weird for this show that everybody was watching to not show the gay kiss between two Black men. It was like one of those weird, it felt like I was back, you know, in the 90s or back in the 80s, where they didn't, like, you know, don't show, it's like, you know, no, it's like 2020, I don't know, at the time, what was it, 2020 when that episode came out? And it was just like, you know, people, like, actors who do that can't really come back from that. And they have this tag on them of being, like, the gay actor, even if they're not necessarily, even if they're not gay. It's like, you know, if you played gay, that's what you're going to be. Whereas, you know, in white media, you can play gay or you can play trans or something, and you can win an Academy Award and you can go on and play, you know, a superhero in the next movie. You know what I'm saying? So it's a little bit different for us in that respect. I will also say that there is constantly this push to show interracial couples. Mm-hmm. Not to say that that's a bad thing, but there's a lot of us want to see Black love as well. We want to see that to be just as important. And I don't think, you know, I think when people complain about that, sometimes people might misinterpret it as, you know, oh, you don't want to see interracial couples, or you don't want to see, you know, you don't like, you know, white people or something like that. And I don't think that that's necessary. I don't think that's the case. I think it's just, you know, let's bring up some other representation as well. And I think that happens. I mean, I think I could say that I can certainly say that as far as, like, the Black gay community is concerned. Like, a lot of us are tired of just seeing that same Black white couple. I would assume, I don't know, but be the same for other people of color that are kind of seeing that same thing, because even in shows where there is gay representation there, they're always kind of paired with, like, a white partner. So that would be another thing. But I mean, I think we've definitely come a long way. I mean, especially with shows like Pose, there could be a lot more trans visibility out there. You know, it's a shame that show is off the air now.
Three good ones, you know what I mean? And I think that, you know, because I was thinking of, I don't know if you're familiar with Erica Hart. She's, like, a huge personality online, but she usually talks about, like, you know, sexuality and and gender and identity. And she called out Insecure actually for actually having a lack of, you know, queer representation on that show. Mm-hmm. And, you know, even outside of Issa's brother at the time being queer, and it was like one episode, or, you know, I guess in the later seasons, or the last season actually,
I think it was the final episode.
Right, the final episode where they kind of shared or showed that inkling of like, oh yeah, he's dating somebody.
As a boyfriend, right.
Yeah, but outside of that, there was really, and you know, Insecure, you know, was an extremely popular show, especially for the culture, and for them to not, you know, reflect, you know, those type of relationships, you know, and, you know, all of us watching Insecure is like, yes, Issa, get your man, da 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 da. But, you know what I'm saying? It took someone like Eric to kind of call that out, and, you know, at the end of the series, I kind of looked back like, shit, yeah, you never really saw that. And, you know, this is L.A., you know what I mean? There is a huge gay community in L.A. It's not like... Yeah, y'all out there, but you know what I'm saying? And for a show like that to have such a reach and not to have those proper representations is just wild. And once again, well, look, I'm cis, you know, Roe v. cis, so, you know, not to say that gives us blinders, but, you know, I think for us, at least, you know, we're so used to seeing, you know, heterosexual, you know, relationships on TV and movies, to where something like this, you know, it has such a huge impact. And that was like the last thing on our mind, at least the last thing on my mind, at least, you know, until it was brought up.
Yeah. I loved Insecure. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, go ahead.
I loved Insecure. And it's interesting, like, you know, you get so drawn into like the characters and their stories, and that you sometimes it's hard to like take a step back and be like, well, wait a minute, like, what's, so where is the representation? But yeah, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the my biggest influence within the media was Noah's Ark. I don't know if you know that show, but with Daryl Stevens and getting into the Black gay community at that time, that was something that was still on like Logo, but still was a good representation of like Black love. And it showed like different aspects and different avenues and different relationships, you know, older, younger, different types of down low, you know, with Noah's boyfriend. And that was I had a positive experience with that. And I craved for more when it ended, and it has been nothing since then. And we are evolving as a society and within the gay community. There's more evolutions of different types of people that can showcase what their story is. Hell, they could even be a reality show. That everybody loves a reality show now, and we don't even have that.
Right. You know, I think a lot of us have kind of rested on accepting, you know, there's a lot of stuff on YouTube. There are a lot of Black gay YouTube, like, reality shows. So, I mean, you know, they don't have the budget that, like, a Bravo show does or something like that. We would love to see it, but I don't know what, you know, the networks, I guess, are not. I mean, the closest thing that I've seen would be Styling Hollywood on Netflix.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
With the designer.
Yeah.
Or not the designer, but I guess stylist.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of room left to grow, you know. And I mean, I think that's kind of why I kind of, like, a piece of why I started my show is because I kind of want to get some more representation, some more voices out there, and kind of talk about issues that kind of, that, like, pertain to us.
100%. Okay. I think I'm just going to do one more question.
Okay.
So it's really more of like a little, like, email that was like was sent towards us. It's an anonymous email. It was from a female. She had one of her coworkers, and her coworker was a gay man, a Black man, and he will oftentimes come in the morning, greet, and say, "Hey, bitch," or "Hey, cunt." And she became kind of defensive towards it, and she confronted him and told him it wasn't cool, but the Black gay man insisted in his whole heart it was cool because he's gay. So in that aspect, I wanted to ask you, can a gay man who's a part of the community and part of a patriarchal social construct be misogynistic towards females.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we are still men and we still can very much fall into those roles. And you know, there's a lot that we, you know, have to unlearn just being a man. So yeah, I mean, I think, you know, you don't, if a woman says, you know, don't call me that, like, I don't care how, you know, I don't care where it's coming from. Like, if somebody's uncomfortable with something that you're calling them, you don't call them that, you know? I mean, I think that that's kind of, I think that would be, you would want that reciprocated as a person in the LGBTQ community, especially with like pronouns and, mm-hmm. You know, a lot of different things. So, you know, we have to just be respectful. You know, and I, you know, I think, it's important to understand the context of what somebody is saying. And like, you know, I'm coming like, hey, bitch, like, you know, so, like, you know, don't get offended when I say that, you know what I'm saying? Like, right. But at the same time, like, you only have to tell me once that you felt uncomfortable with me telling you that, then I won't do that again. You know, I don't need to defend it necessarily.
But you're not exactly going to tell Joan at the office, hey, bitch, you know what I mean? Like,
look, if I'm not close with Joan like that.
Let's assume Joan has a
character. As per my email, Joan.
Oh, it's big as per my email, Joan. This is not homegirl Joan that y'all go to lunch and start talking shit. We're talking, you know what I mean? But context is everything.
No. Especially not the C word, no.
Yikes.
Mm-mm.
The C word is the white woman's N word. Okay.
That's strictly for family. Okay, it's strictly for ballroom culture. Like, you don't even use that word. Like, no, don't.
Right.
Absolutely not. But yes, Jared, we wanted to thank you for being on the show. You know, I feel like, you know, we learned a lot. I hope our audience has learned a lot. Especially when it comes to this topic. And, you know, we really hope that, you know, you're able to kind of enlighten somebody. Because, you know, there's a lot of people out here that walk around ignorantly, you know, pun intended, you know, about, you know, the gay community. And not to say, like, you have to sit here and, like, be a professor, but, you know, your insight and, you know, hopefully other people will be more open to, you know, expanding their minds when it comes to, you know, the gay community, especially, you know, within our culture. And just, you know, a little bit, be more mindful of, you know, how we address these things and think about these things around us. So we definitely want to thank you for being on the show. We really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me on. I had a great time talking with you both. And, you know, I look forward to seeing what comes down the pike for you guys. I love the show.
Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate that. So where can they find you?
You can find me at Jared D. King on any social media channel. So that's JARRODDKING. You can also look for the Boyfriends podcast. That's at Boyfriends Pod. Please forgive the sirens going off outside my window.
All good.
That's just like, you know, that's just the warning. Like, when you come on the Boyfriends podcast, some stuff is going to go down sometimes. You know, it gets a little frisky over there sometimes. I'll just say that. But it's a good time. But yeah, that's where you can find me.
Okay.
Off topic. One last question. I'm so sorry. This is totally off topic. And I just want my own personal dating advice.
Okay.
How do you navigate as a cis woman who hates men in the dating world?
Now, wait a minute. Do you hate men?
No, don't even come. I do. Yes,
100%. All right.
Hate is a strong word. No. I hate the men. It's y'all not a trash. Weak word.
It's not a weak word.
It's trashy. You know, I don't know if black gay men are just as trashy, but cis straight men are trash, waste management come and manage the hell out of them.
I feel like we could talk for another hour and just exchange stories, because it's no different over here. Unfortunately. I mean, you know, the thing is to remember that there are good men out there, regardless of the experiences that we have. There are good men out there. And I would say to gay men, there are good people out there. You are an example of that. And I would say to you, there are, I guess I would broaden that out a little bit because you're not a man, but I would say there are good people out there and you are an example of that as well. And so we kind of have to remain open to that idea and kind of invite those people in.
I like that. I like ending on a positive note. I do.
Yes.
I mean,
yeah, and I'm gonna call you up. You know?
Oh man, yes. So once again, you know, you guys make sure to follow Jared on his socials. Make sure to follow the Boyfriend Podcast. Get you some culture. Get your life over there. When it comes to us, make sure to follow us on our own social media platforms. We are on TikTok. We are on Instagram. We are on Twitter. We're on all those things. Make sure to follow me and Rovi respectfully. And if you have any questions for us or if you'd like to be a guest on the show, please make sure to email us at sophigpodcast@gmail.com and we will get back to you.
All right. Thank everyone for listening. I hope you guys learned something and take something away.
All right. And yes, we will talk to y'all next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Say goodbye, Rovi.
Bye, Rovi.